Why don't we have a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that you would open your word to us tonight. Just give us wisdom. Lord, bless us in Jesus' name.
All right. I had a Bible.
No, no Bible.
Be sure and bring your Bible, as Jesus says. Don't get up to preach without your Bible. Is that it? Is that what it says? Okay. Man, am I glad I'm already through. See, I'm not being critiqued. I've already been there. I'm through. You know, every once in a while, somebody comes up, and they tell me that Jesus Christ is not God, and that we should not refer to Jesus Christ as God. Or they will say that Jesus Christ is a lesser God, a created God, or that even as the Son, he is a subservient God, and therefore he is not God the Lord. But I want you to look at a few verses tonight that will give you some understanding into this thing. Who is Jesus Christ? And he is God. Now, Jesus is the name of God. Not only do I want to say several things about it. First of all, Jesus Christ is worship. He always received worship. Wherever you find him, he is receiving worship. He never turned it down, never refused it. He accepted it as right and proper, and you'll find no other rightful, godly angel in the Bible receiving worship. They won't receive it. They'll say, oh, don't worship me, worship God. Jesus Christ receives the worship. Now, Jesus is the name of God, and I want to put that with several things that we're dealing with. First of all, let's look at Acts 4:24 and John chapter 1. Acts 4:24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. You notice what that said? They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who were they praying to? They're praying to God. And they were praying to which God? What God? The God that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in it is. He was the Lord, and thou art God, and he's the creator. All right, look at John chapter 1 in conjunction with it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, who is this? This is Jesus Christ. First chapter of John points out very definitely the Word and this God that made everything that is in the world, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is God. He is the very God. He is the creating God. He is the mighty God. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2, 3, and 4. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2, 3, and 4. Now, the reason why I give you some of these verses, they're not all the verses that I could possibly find on these subjects. In fact, they are a selection of verses. But in the selection of verses, they're verses that you can use. And the reason why, in fact, all of these studies, these topical studies I've given you, are studies that I have used over the years in defending the Bible position, the gospel position, the Word of God, against heresy or men's tradition, whatever it might be, that comes up with some new doctrine that says something's contrary to Scripture. And so we study the Scriptures out and we find out what it is. How do you get these Scriptures? Well, you take a concordance and you spend a few hours. You say, I'd like to know how to answer the question. Get you a concordance and spend some hours. I want to know how to learn how to pray. Get the word pray, prayer, intercede, supplicate, plead, whatever, and get on your knees and spend 2 or 3 years studying prayer. And then try practicing what you study, and before long, you'll be able to answer people's questions on prayer. All right, when it comes up to the name of Jesus Christ, when it comes up to the person of Jesus Christ, you need to know what the Bible has to say about it. You don't need to know what some guy's deluded and brought down to. You need to know what the Bible has to say. What you do is you get your concordance, and you take that name, and you follow it right through the Bible, and you find out what it has to say about it. And that's exactly what you do on this right here. You take a subject, and you follow it through. Look at Isaiah 12, 2, 3, and 4. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Make mention that his name is exalted. All right, now it is the Lord Jehovah. Notice what he says there. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now, I want to ask you something. The Jehovah of the Old Testament, is that God the Father? Okay, what everybody would agree to. It is also God the Son. It is God the Son. Who is it that has become the salvation of the Lord? Who is the Lord? Well, you can turn to Philippians. We'll go to it again. But Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And by the way, you can take the word Lord and run it through the Psalms. It is a tremendous study. It is really, take the word rock and just do nothing but hit the Psalms with the word rock. R-O-C-K. And just look at the verses. Man, do you have a study. Who's the rock? It's Jesus. Who is the Lord? Well, if you look at Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Who is this? Jesus. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. Or who is the Lord? He's God. He's the Lord. He is our salvation. He has become our salvation. He's our strength. He's our song. We call upon his name. What name do they call upon in the New Testament? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What name are they calling on? They call it on Jehovah. They call it on Jesus. They call it on Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus. You're going to find in a few places. Now we haven't got all the way there yet. Let's look at a few places. Look, if you will, thinking with this right here, let's go also to Isaiah 44:6. Isaiah 44:6. Thinking in this same line. I was in the wrong chapter. I knew that verse didn't fit. It's better. All right, Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Now let me ask you something, friends. How many first and last can you have? Huh? How many first and last can you have? By the way, this is a real good verse for Jehovah's Witness. Use Isaiah 44:6 along with the ones I want to give you in Revelation that we'll compare with them right here in a minute. He said, I am the first, I am the last, beside me there is no God. You ask him, who is that? It's Jehovah. Look at 8. Fear you not, need to be afraid. Have not I told you from that time, have declared it. You're even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. God says, I don't know any God beside me. Okay? Now, when you're dealing with a Jehovah's Witness on Jesus Christ being a lesser God and Jesus not being the Jehovah of the Old Testament, what I'm telling you is that the Jehovah of the Old Testament, the revealed God of the Old Testament, is the Jesus of the New Testament. They are one and the same. Okay? You go to Isaiah 44:6 and ask him, is this first and the last Jehovah God? Yes. Okay, turn to Revelation then, chapter 1 and verse 17 in the light of that. Chapter 1, verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I said, now who is that? And 9 times out of 10, they're going to tell you Jehovah. He's the first and the last Jehovah. Okay, let's read on. I am he that liveth and was dead. When did Jehovah die? Amen. I mean, you got to get to be a little tough in some of these things. If you're going to deal with some men, you're not running with kids now. You're not playing in the little local games. You're getting up where you're going to fight with men. I mean, you're past the golden gloves. You turn pro. You better learn how to use the scripture. I am the first and I am the last. Fear not. I am the first and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Which is the resurrected one? Jesus Christ. And he says he's the same one. Now back over here, he said, there is no God beside me. I am the first, I am the last, there is no God beside me. Is the Jesus that died and rose again the same one that we find back over in the Old Testament? He sure is. The Jehovah of the Old Testament, the Lord of the Old Testament, the Rock of the Old Testament, is the Jesus of the New Testament. He is the Lord, he is the Rock. All right? Look at Revelation 22, verse 12, 13, and 16. 22:12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according his work shall be. Who's coming back? All right. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Who is he? I tell you what, it's the Jesus of the New Testament, and he's the first, and he's the last. And then in verse 16, that I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Can you recognize who we're talking about? From Isaiah 44:6, Revelation 1:17, Revelation 22:12, 13, and 16. Okay, turn to Isaiah 9:6 now. Go back to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Tremendous passage. Most people read it, they've quoted it, they memorized it, they know something about it, but they never have thought about what it's saying. You need to read it and see what it says. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, who is that? That's Jesus. No doubt about it, is it? Anybody in their right mind figure out that's Jesus Christ? Let's look at his name. And his name should be called Wonder. And his name should be called Counselor. And his name shall be called the Mighty God. Getting better all the time, isn't it? And his name shall be called the Everlasting Son. Father! And his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And he switches right back to the Prince of Peace. I know good, solid, fundamental believers that'll make Jesus Christ the Child, the Son, the Government, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace, but they cut out with their penknife the Everlasting Father. They're so hung up on Trinitarianism and their understanding the Trinity that they deny the actual teaching of Scripture. Jesus said, my Spirit, I and my Father are going to come be with you and live in you. Who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit of God. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who do I have in me? I've got the Holy Spirit. That's the person of Godhead I have in me, right? Who's in there? Jesus! Who's in there? The Father! We will make our abode with you. Amen? You understand that? You're smarter than I am. If you understand that, you're smarter than I am. But I just believe it. I don't profess to explain it. I don't explain some paradoxes. I don't explain how babies are born. I've had five of them. Praise the Lord. I appreciate them. Amen. But did you know when that little thing was fertilized inside my wife's womb and it was so small a microscope couldn't pick it up, it knew what shape of eyebrows it was going to have, an exact tint of hair, the size of the brain, the weight of the body, the shape of the ears, the type of lobe the ear has. Wow. And you think you can explain that? Try gravity on our side. We use it every day. That's how come you're still stuck on this ball here. How come you, do you know which side of this ball you're on? Are you on the bottom or on the top? How come you haven't fallen off when it turned over? And you understand all that? Oh, you got it all down pat, huh? Are you going to explain the universe and all this stuff? You're a great scientist. Explain gravity to me. Nobody even knows what the thing is. Look what we do with electricity. Look what we do with electricity. Nobody understands electricity. They understand how to use electricity. They understand how to combat gravity and use gravity. But they don't know what it is. I'll tell you what it is. The power of God. Jesus said, by him all things consist or hold together. You know the reason why that the air doesn't fly off out in the universe? You know the reason why that you don't just float off and go out to somewhere? You know some table doesn't rise up and just head out towards the sun somewhere? It's Jesus said, my word holds it together. That's it. You say, well, that's not very scientific. Yeah, but it's very true. It's an eternal truth that'll last a long time. You understand that? I don't understand it, but I love it. Why is it then that people will make Jesus Christ, the Child born, the Son given, the government on his shoulder, call him Wonderful, call him Counselor, call him the Mighty God, and call him the Prince of Peace, but they take out the Everlasting Father? Somebody's making a mistake somewhere because their intellect isn't big enough to handle God. Well, mine's not either, but it's big enough to read 8th grade English and believe it. Jesus Christ is the Father. Well, let's go to a few more places. Now, the name of the Lord is in the Bible hundreds and hundreds of times. I just don't know how many. I'd have to count them for you, and I'm not planning on doing it. So if you want to count them, you get your concordance down. Strong will let you do it. And you can just count Lord every time it is, or name of the Lord every time you want to. Be fine for me. You can bring me the numbers, and I'll trust you. Okay? Look, if you will, in Matthew 22, 43 through 45. We're going to look at several verses of Scripture. Matthew 22, 43 through 45. Jesus posed some questions. Starting back at 41, really, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. They got them all together. He said, let me give you guys questions. They've been giving him questions. Bang, 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 bang. He said, let me give you guys questions. You guys are professors. You're seminary professors. You teach at the seminary. Well, let's see what you got. What think you of Christ? Now, they didn't know he was talking about himself. So what think you of Christ? The Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one. See? What think you of the anointed one? What think you of Christ, the Christ that's to come? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said, boy, you guys got a good scriptural answer. Amen. He said to him, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, and then he quotes, I think it's Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David didn't call him Lord, how is he? Well, that blew all their theories, you know. How in the world could a man have his son for a Lord? I mean, you know, the father's got to be greater in stature than his son. He just simply has to be. Now, David then called Christ Lord. Who is the Lord? David called Christ Lord. Did you notice that? Jesus Christ pointed out that David called Christ Lord. You believe the words of Jesus? If you believe the words of Jesus then, you're a follower of Jesus Christ then, you recognize that Jesus Christ taught that David the prophet in the Psalms called him Lord. And yet he was his son. And no man was able to answer him a word. And they quit asking him questions. He said, man, we don't want to mess with this guy. All right, now we read Philippians 2:11. Who is the Lord? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lord of the New Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:11. All right, look at John 20:28. John 20:28. Now, Thomas had not been at the meeting the week before. He was out fishing on Sunday, or else he did something else. I don't know what he was doing, but he wasn't there. And so next week when they had meetings, they told him they'd seen the Lord, you know, and old Thomas, he said, ah, shoot, I'm not going to believe it. I see it. You guys aren't going to pull the wool over mine. So here comes Jesus. Verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus Christ is Lord and Jesus Christ is God. Now Jesus did not rebuke him. Jesus did not correct him. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas said, Lord, you're God. My Lord, and Jesus Christ accepted. Jesus Christ is not just Lord. He is not just Christ. He is God. Okay? Let's go a little further. Let's look at Romans chapter 9 and verse 5. Romans chapter 9 and verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God, blessed forever. Amen. Now, it depends on how you read that. Is Christ over all, God blessed? Or is Christ over all, the God that is blessed forever? Anyway, he's over all. Look, if you will, John 14. One day I want to make a real study on this. Tremendous things in there. Amen and amen. All right, verse 6, John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Man, if I knew you, I should know your Father. From henceforth, from now on, you know him. And have seen him. Wow. I've known him, but I've seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That'll be sufficient. Lord, can I really know him and see him? Lord, show us the Father. It sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So I don't like your doctrine. Well, sorry, fella, I got a bunch of scripture to back mine up. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the manifested God. He is the revealed God. He is the person of God in revelation, revealing himself to me, dying for me. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Philip, don't you believe? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Just believe. If you don't believe, just if you don't understand what I'm saying, can't believe it, just believe because of the works I can do. What you're seeing is a body where the Father dwells. The Father in me. I am the Father one. You say, I don't know how to compute that. It doesn't add up 2 and 2 is 4. No, it sure doesn't. You have 1, 2, 3, 3, and it's 1. No, it don't work that way. I don't understand it, but I love it. I just love it to death. I really do. I think it's one of the most beautiful things in all the world. Have I been so long a time? And yet hast thou not known? He listened. Asking. Why would you say so? Okay. Now, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. Acts 10, 36. Start at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began. Okay. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. When you read Lord in the Old Testament, you read Lord in the New Testament, you're talking about the same one. He is the Lord of all. All right, look at Colossians 1:19. Colossians 1:19. Remind me there's a verse I don't have down. You remind me to show you the verse I don't have down. Okay. Colossians 1:19. I just noticed in my notes there's a verse I want to read to you. I've written down. 1:19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwell. All the fullness dwells in Jesus Christ. All right, look at Colossians 2:9. What are we talking about? For in him, speaking of Jesus Christ, the bodily presence of Jesus Christ, for in him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Son. Godhead, body. Now, you can break them up into nice three little categories and think you got it all down pat, but it won't fit all the Scripture. Because it pleased the Father that in the Son should all fullness dwell. What's he talking about? Colossians 2:9, he makes it even clearer. For in him dwelleth, that is not dwelt. This is written in our dispensation, Colossians chapter 2. You can't get a dispensation past that unless you get up into the next one. That's past the church. It's the church dispensation, so you can't bullingerite this out, or stamite it out, or whatever you want to call it, dispensation it out. For in him dwelleth, present tense, and continues to do so, all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Just read the book. Don't give me what Strong or Hodge or somebody else had to say. I don't give 2 cents what they had to say. Don't tell me what historic Christianity had to say. I don't care what Chrysostom had to say or Augustine. I don't care about the Council of Nicaea. I'm not worried about historic Christianity. I'm not worried about traditional Christianity. I just want a biblical Christianity. And if it crosses historic and Christianity and traditional Christianity, it just has to cross them, fella. They just get crossed. This Bible crosses a lot of lines. If it crosses your tradition and you hang on to your tradition, then you make the Word of God of none effect by doing so. Amen. Praise the Lord. In him dwelleth. That means dwells and continues to dwell. In him dwelleth. That is not dwelt or shall dwell. It is right now dwells. All, not part, not a third, not a little part, not the smallest part of the glory. All the fullness. How much more can you make it plain? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. You can throw that out any way you want to. You got a problem with that verse. You quote it all the time. How about believing? All right. Now we checked on baptism the other night. I want to give you these scriptures again. What is the name? Well, Acts 28. What does it tell you? Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Name is singular. By the way, it's singular in the Greek just like it's singular in English. And you would say names, plural, of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost if you're talking about that particular formula. But it says the name, singular, of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. What name to baptize in? Well, all of us have fought enough Camelites to know what Acts 2:38 says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. What's the name? Hey, Peter, did you remember what Jesus said? I remember what Jesus said. I'm full of the Holy Ghost, man. I'm preaching full of the Holy Ghost. 3,000 souls are going to get saved. I am filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I'm giving you correct doctrine. This is the doctrine of the apostles. I'm giving it for eternity. Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name to be baptized in. Acts 8:12, what did he tell him? He preached unto him. And Acts 8:12 through 16, look at the name of Jesus there. He preached unto him things concerning the name of Jesus Christ, and he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 10:48, what did they do? They got baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 19:5, they baptized in the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:13, Paul said, I'm sure thankful I didn't baptize anybody but Crispus and Gaius. Well, you saw a rascal say, I baptized in my own name. He said, what name were you baptized in? He said, were you baptized in the name of Paul? Don't you remember what I baptized you in? I didn't baptize you in the name of Paul. What's he saying? He baptized in the name of Jesus, man. What is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? It's the Lord Jesus. What Scripture teaches, man. I don't like it. You got problems, Enzo. Your problems with God. Your problems with this book. Your problems not with me. I just read it. Amen? I don't like your little mind. And I don't like your pea brain either. So what? Well, let's go back to Philippians 2, 5 through 11 and hit that one more time. I'm going to get it. I said, let me write it down. It's in Acts 7. I'm going to see it anywhere in my notes, and it should have been in this note. I'll remember it. Acts 7. I'll get it for you. What did I tell you? Philippians 2, 5 through 11? Okay. Look what he says. Well, we've read the 5 through 11. We won't read it again. But you see how he didn't consider it robbery, or he was taking anything that wasn't his to be made equal with God. He was equal with God. He was equal with God. It wasn't robbery for him to become God and claim what was God's. It wasn't robbery for him. It was his. I don't rob myself when I go to my refrigerator and take everything out. I don't rob myself when I check on my bank account. I don't rob myself when I go drive my car to Mexico to it. No, it's mine. What he's saying there? He didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, but he put that aside, made himself of no reputation, became a servant, made like a man, and when he woke up in his fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself, became obedient right unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. What's the name above every name? Jesus, man. That at the name, and some people like to say, well, the name of God is Lord. Well, it is. Praise Lord, I like that. But I want you to know, let's read Scripture. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. Didn't say Lord Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, we read about what God the Father did over there in Colossians 1, 19. It pleased the Father that all the fullness would dwell in the Son. And we read over there in Colossians 2, 9, what the accomplishment of that was. In Him dwelt the fullness of the dweller, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's get it straight now. Let's keep ourselves on the right track. We don't want to get all off here. Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you glorify Jesus Christ, it glorifies God, because that's what God wants you to do. When you recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and as the mighty God and as the everlasting Father and the bodily presence of the fullness of the Godhead, the bodily presence of the fullness of the Godhead is Jesus Christ. And you recognize that, it says it gives glory to God the Father. It pleases Him. You can't get better than that, man, because He's in that body. God the Father's there. He said, when we get to heaven, we're going to see three, we're going to see one. A good man wrote a book on it, First Baptist Church, Dallas, Crystal. He wrote a book on it and said, when we get to heaven, we're not going to see three gods, we're going to see one God. Man, you talk about a controversy. Half the Southern Baptists were rose up in arms against us. He's a good man. Crystal's a good man. Boy, they rose up against him. He's got a good point. I don't know. I know in Revelation he's right hand. But then I don't know all about that either. I'm just in the day of grace preaching what I see. Amen. Amen. What does Romans 10:13 say? You ought to be, all of you ought to be able to memorize it. Quote it to me, Joey. Amen. You already got one of your verses memorized. You got to memorize. All right. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What name do you call on to get saved? I've had people tell me that's Jehovah. That's right. I've had people, well, let's call him on the name of Jehovah. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Well, let me tell you what. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. If you understand that, I don't have a problem if you call on Jehovah. You recognize that Jehovah is Jesus and Jesus is Jehovah. I don't care. Holler Jehovah all you want to. But when you tell me Jehovah's different than Jesus, and that Jehovah's bigger than Jesus, and Jehovah's older than Jesus, and Jehovah's more powerful than Jesus, and Jehovah is more God than Jesus, you're out of your gourd. You don't know your Bible. You better get in the book and study a little more. You haven't put your concordance, you haven't compared Scripture with Scripture. Concordance will help you do that. It won't cost you $15 or $20 to buy a good one. Go ahead and invest a little bit. Invest a little bit of time. Don't be ignorant all your life. It's one thing to be ignorant. It's a terrible thing to remain so. Amen? And a lot of people just absolutely remain ignorant. Revelation chapter 5, Jesus Christ is Lord. The Psalms praise Him as Lord continually. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, and said, when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal there, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. He redeemed us by His own blood. I'm going to give you another one. Acts 20, 28. We'll get that one before we get there. But anyway, who did He redeem us to? Christ redeemed us to Himself, man. Christ redeemed us to God. And in doing so, He redeemed us to Himself. God Himself came down and redeemed us to Himself. Well, look at Acts 20, 28. I told this short study, and I mean, got a lot of preachers preaching tonight. Acts 20, 28. It's a good verse. Wow, what a rich verse. You can study this thing, and boy, it's going to keep feeding you for a long time to come. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God which He purchased with His Son's blood. That's not what it says. Do you know that's the way the New World Translation translates it? The Jehovah's Witness Bible retranslates that. They couldn't let that verse stand. They cannot let Colossians 2:9 stand alone, and they cannot let Acts 20:28 stand alone. It says right here, the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Who died for you? God died. Who died for you? Christ died for you. You figure all that out. Look at Acts chapter 7. I want to show you the verse that brought the controversy. Verse 59 and 60. I was preaching one night, and I preached this verse and got a fellow really upset the way that I preached it, so we had to go into a nice little study for a couple of days. That's what this came out. Remember old Stephen? Let's go back. Let's get his message. Verse 51, ye stiff and circumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? Wasn't he a sweet preacher? This brother ought to be pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in San Antonio, right? Amen? He'd at least make First Baptist, wouldn't he? No, they'd crucify him there too. They'd have stoned him to death right there. You talk about tough preaching. You guys think I'm hard sometimes, huh? You think you heard some guy? Man, we're pussyfooters. The toughest bunch in our day are a bunch of cats.
Just chicken to the core.
Listen to him. He's stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Ghost. You're just like your daddies, the ones you've been talking about. You're better than him. You know better than your daddies. You're just like them. Which prophet didn't your daddies kill? And you're just like them. And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. He had a sweet message going. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Wow. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Maybe the reason why we don't get enough convictions, we don't preach hard enough. You reckon, brother? They isn't what preached hard and cut them to the heart. Of course, maybe we don't want his results. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. You ever seen a guy go crazy on drugs or been having an epileptic fit or something like that? That's what they were doing. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, you know. They were going to gnash on him with their teeth. Can't you see these guys? These are the respectable doctors in the cemetery. These are the leaders of Israel. See them? Take a look at it, man. Just get a good picture of what's happening back there. Wow, something's happening, man. They gnashed on him with their teeth, but he being full of the Holy Ghost. I want you to remember that phrase. Because what I'm going to say in a little bit comes from the Holy Ghost. He being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, he's calling upon God. And what is he saying? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He calls upon God. He sees God, Jesus, the right hand of the Father up there. That may be the way we see it in heaven too. I don't know. That's the way we see it in the Bible. You could not understand the Trinity. You could not understand it if you could not see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But let's not get so hung up on the different representations or presentations that God gives to us as he has in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That we divide them up and make them separate entire beings. There's one God. Besides me, there is no one. And he's calling upon God. As he's calling upon God, he says, God. He says, Lord Jesus. When he called upon God, he said, Lord Jesus, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. That's pretty simple. Amen.